comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful, beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at Talk Radio like nowhere else on Earth. And it is the show where you matter. You know, weird things happen in our world all the time. So many weird things happen around us all the time that we sort of get numb to it. And we don't notice. You know, we tend not to notice when something really strange is going on around. I mean, it has to be really bizarre before we notice it. Tonight is going to be open line. And I brought some articles to the table, one of which talks about something really, really weird in our universe that has absolutely sent the astronomy community reeling once they found out about it. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, on this show we talk about things that are generally classified as paranormal. Generally, people classify UFOs as paranormal. Maybe you don't, and most of the time I don't. But, you know, the truth is, the definition of paranormal is anything for which there is no scientific explanation. That means that about 99% of everything in the universe is paranormal. Things happen that don't fit the laws of physics, as they refer to them. Things happen that don't fit conventional thinking. Well, that says more about our thinking than it does about anything else. Tonight, I'm going to share with you some things that are really, really interesting and bizarre, and then we're going to open up the phone lines and allow you to call in with your topic. It's BYOT night, bring your own topic, and we're going to be allowing you, if something strange has happened to you or you've seen something strange, call us and tell us about it. If there's something paranormal going on around you, call us and tell us about it. Or it may just be that you want to call and talk about a show that we've had or, you know, maybe one of the topics that we've discussed or one of the guests that we've had. But we're going to invite you to join us via telephone and via flash message on the other side of this break. Now, we have a break coming up here in about, 20 seconds or so. And when we come back on the other side of the break, I'll share these articles with you. And then we'll open the phone lines and let's get busy. Let's get after it. Let's talk about the things that are going on around us that are paranormal. We may not have a great deal more time left with the internet, you know. We'll be back right after this. right. Welcome to Bring Your Own Topic Night, BYOT. We're going to start off with a couple of things here. I'll kick the ball down the field, and then we'll see what happens. First, let me say I got two or three emails regarding last night's show where people said, hey, you know, I'm in the members area and I watch it every night, but I'm not getting any video. Now, I didn't have very many of those. We literally had thousands and thousands of people watching, and it was working. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your computer. There can be, from time to time, intermittent weird stuff happening with the internet out there, with the various exchanges and so forth. And so it could be there was something strange going on the internet last night that was preventing some of you from being able to get the video. But lots of people did. And so, you know, it was working. It just wasn't working, perhaps, in your part of terra firma. Speaking of terra firma, weird stuff. All right. You know, on the show, we very often debate this idea. We talk about it. What would happen if disclosure were to happen? If the government, perhaps the president, or maybe general of the Air Force, or some high official, were to step to the microphone in front of the television cameras in the morning and say, all right, folks, here's the deal. Extraterrestrials are real, and we are in contact with them, and we are establishing diplomatic relations with them, or we have established diplomatic relations, whatever the case may be, and then proceeded to give us what we would call disclosure about extraterrestrials. What would happen? Now, some people say, well, I don't think that there would be panic in the streets. You know, they point to the Orson Welles thing. I don't think there would be panic in the streets. And I tend to agree with you if what you're talking about is the United States of America. I think there would be a lot of apprehension, but I don't think there would be panic in the streets. If you're talking about the USA, if you're talking about Canada, if you were talking about the UK, if you were talking about, I'm not an expert on Australia or Canada or the UK, but Australia, I don't think there would be panic in the streets. In most of Western Europe and Northern Europe, probably no panic on the streets. Eastern Europe, I don't think in most cases there would be panic on the streets. But you've heard me say that there are places on this planet where there would be panic. Well, I've been saving this one. It came out April the 7th. And I've been saving this for you because I thought it was a great example. The event did not happen on, the incident did not happen on April 7th. It happened on April 1st, April Fool's Day, in the country of Jordan. And in the country of Jordan, there is a newspaper. It is called Al-Ghad, A-L-G-H-A-D, maybe it's Al-Ghad newspaper. And for an April Fool's joke, they ran a front page story that was a complete spoof. But it was on the front page, and this article, a spoof article, told about a UFO landing near the desert town of Jafar, J-A-F-R. It's about 185 miles from the capital of Jordan, which is Amman. So this ran in the newspaper, and the article said that UFOs lit up the whole town, interrupted communications and sent fearful residents streaming into the streets. Now, it was an April Fool's joke. It was, according to the editor of the paper, he says, we meant to entertain, not scare people. So what happened? Now, do you recall that I say, I say this and then I get email from people telling me how wrong I am and I shouldn't say things like this, but it's the truth. And here's an example. I say that the general public are mushrooms. Now, this doesn't mean I think they're stupid. Intellectually, they may be absolute geniuses. But being connected with reality and being a genius are not necessarily synonymous. Well, over in this little town of Jaffa, now remember, this is in the newspaper. The newspaper says that at Jaffa, during the night, UFOs landed, lit up the whole town, disrupted communications, sent residents streaming into the streets in fear. Well, over at Jaffa, the mayor read this story and became alarmed. And he sent the security authorities out to look for the aliens. Students in Jaffa didn't go to school. Their parents were frightened. And the mayor says, I almost evacuated the town's 13,000 residents. People were scared that the aliens would attack them. Don't you wonder, the people at Jaffa, here's a story that says UFOs landed and lit up their whole town and people went streaming into the streets. And here they are at Jaffa. They didn't know anything about that till they read it in the newspaper. Don't you wonder why they didn't think, now wait a minute. Communications didn't get disrupted last night. I didn't see any lights around here. And I didn't see people streaming into the streets. I mean, wouldn't you think that people at Jaffa would sort of think, that didn't happen? I'm going to give you an example of a situation similar to this. Recently, there was an earthquake down in Baja, just across the border, actually, in Mexico. And it was reported to be a 7.2 earthquake. Now, that's a big earthquake. And on all the national news, I found out about it because as I was working during the day, I have a television over on the other side of the studio, and I turned it on and I listened to the news during the day. Some. Not all day. I heard on the news that there had been this earthquake and that it caused buildings to sway all the way over to Phoenix, Arizona. Well, here I am. I'm in the Phoenix area. And I started asking, I didn't feel anything. I started asking around. I asked people all around me. Did you feel anything? No. I couldn't find anyone out here. I asked people that worked in stores, people I didn't even know. I couldn't find anyone in Phoenix. Now, I didn't talk to everyone in Phoenix, but I couldn't find anyone that felt this earthquake that caused buildings to sway all the way over to Phoenix. Nobody. Now, if you live in Phoenix and you felt that earthquake, you be sure and call in and tell me about it tonight. I'm serious about that. I haven't found a single person out here that felt that earthquake. So I hear it on the news, and my mind says, that didn't happen. Nobody out here felt that. And then I checked around and nobody felt it. Wouldn't you think something like that would happen in Jordan, in Jaffa, here's a report that says UFOs landed, lit up the whole town, disrupted communications, and sent people streaming into the streets in fear. Students stayed home from school. That wasn't in the news story. They actually did. The mayor sent security forces out hunting aliens and considered evacuation. Don't you think somebody in Jaffer should have looked around and said, did you go streaming into the street? Did you see any lights? What about you? Were your communications disrupted? Don't you think somebody in Jaffer should have said, hey, that didn't happen? But here's an example of, if disclosure were to happen immediately, suddenly, there would be places on this planet, and maybe some places even in the USA, maybe some, I don't know, where people would do just like this. Nobody questions, nobody, well, that's not true. Many people don't question. Many people don't think. They don't reason it out. They just emote. And on the basis of that, they were about to evacuate the town. Strange stuff, huh? All right. I mentioned this one a couple of weeks ago. But I, maybe later in the show we'll do that one. You hear me say that things are not like you imagine them to be sometimes. And you, those who have been listening to the show for some period of time have heard me, you've heard me say that you have to understand that when you talk about the Catholic Church, that is completely separate from talking about the Vatican. We think of them as being the same. The Catholic Church is religion. The Vatican is a state. It is a government. It is a nation. Small one, true. It's the smallest one on the planet in terms of its geographical area. But it is a nation. And so when you talk about the Pope, you're talking about someone who is both head of the church and head of state. As head of state, he has almost monarchical power as head of Vatican, which is a nation, a state. It sits in Rome. It's surrounded by Italy. But Vatican, they call it Vatican City, is a nation. All right, now there's a guy in England that's calling for the Pope to be arrested for crimes against humanity when he visits Great Britain. Apparently there is a visit by the Pope scheduled. He's been invited there by the government of Britain. And so there is this this trip that's planned. And he wants the Pope to be arrested. Well, he's not just another preacher. He's the head of state. And there are diplomatic agreements and conventions that say you cannot, when a head of state visits your country, you cannot arrest that head of state. If he is a sitting head of state, he cannot be arrested. And so this guy is Richard Dawkins. And Dawkins is a very outspoken atheist, and he's pretty well known, and kind of a, I would say, sort of a flash in the pan kind of an atheist. And by that I mean he's always looking for attention. But this shows the kind of slipshod scholarship that must surround Mr. Dawkins, because he seems not to understand that the Pope is first the head of state for Vatican. He is a sitting, ruling head of state. He cannot be arrested. The only way that he could be arrested would be for the International Criminal Tribunal to issue a warrant for his arrest, and then there would have to be all kinds of cooperation from inside of Vatican to agree to allow him to be arrested. It would be a very sticky thing. It would be as if someone that doesn't like the U.S. policies decides Barack Obama goes to visit, we'll say he goes to visit China, and while he's there, the Chinese decide to arrest him. What do you think the reaction would be in this country? What do you think the reaction would be worldwide? He's a head of state. You don't do that. Even during the Cold War, when we would have visits from the head of the Soviet Union, whoever it happened to be. I remember Nikita Khrushchev. I remember Chernyakov. I remember Brezhnev. But when they would visit, these were guys that headed a nation that pretty much wanted to annihilate the United States. Maybe not with nuclear weapons, but they pretty much wanted us out of business. They were not arrested. So you can't arrest the Pope. We've got just 20 seconds here, and then we're headed into break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a discovery in our universe that has sent scientists reeling. They don't know what to think about it. Apparently, the universe didn't go to the same universities they got their PhDs from. It's doing what it wants, not what they say it has to do. We'll be back right after this. You're having a fantastic week. You know, we're only this is only the second day of the work week, but I hope it started off well, and if it didn't, I hope it gets well and you have a great week this week. Some folks not having a great week this week are people that are experts in astronomy. Some of those people, you know, that have written textbooks that say this is how it happens, it's always this way, they're having a tough week this week. They really are. It's there's been a discovery. 9 planets outside of our solar system, exoplanets they call them, 9 of them that are not orbiting their sun in the same direction as all the other planets that have been found. Now, there have been planets discovered, even in our solar system, that spin backward on their axis in comparison to the way the Earth spins. However, it has always been assumed that all the planets that you will find anywhere orbit in the same direction around their sun that their sun is orbiting and that their sun is spinning. And so instead of orbiting as they're supposed to, according to the theory, they found 9 that are orbiting the other way, opposite of the direction of orbit for their sun. And you know, there's 452 exoplanets have been discovered since 1995. 452. That's where it stands right now. And these nine absolutely destroy the, up until this week, the prevailing theory about how it all works out there. According to Amari Triaud, who is at the Geneva Observatory, an astronomer there, chief astronomer, I think, he says, this is a real bomb we're dropping into the field of exoplanets. And, you know, they don't know what to think about it. They have no idea why these planets move in that direction, nor do they have an idea how they could move in that direction. Now, why is that important? Well, only because I say all the time, just when you think you've got it all figured out, the universe does something you didn't expect. There are no laws of physics, and there are no laws of motion and movement. Those things that we call laws of physics, or that we call laws of motion and movement, those things are really not laws. They're descriptions of our current understanding. Now, here you've got an example of what I've been saying. It's not the only one. We've given you several examples down across the months. But here's an example, and a good one, of what I've been saying. That just when you think you've got it figured out and you call it a law, something happens that just blows that all to pieces. The universe does what it wants to do. It does what it does. It did not attend the universities where the PhDs got their PhDs. And that brings up something that I want to really nail down, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Have you ever heard, it was made famous by Carl Sagan, have you ever heard the statement, extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof? You ever heard that? Well, you know, it sounds good, and much of the media, the mushroom media, scream amen every time they hear it. But that is absolutely the second stupidest statement that I've ever heard. The first, the stupidest thing that I ever hear anybody do is when they get into, do you believe in UFOs? I won't even go into that. You know what I say about that. But the second stupidest statement that I think I've ever heard is that statement. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. That's absolutely illogical, irrational, unsupportable by data, and untrue. Now let me explain. First of all, there are no extraordinary claims. There are claims. Our minds we've set some limits in our minds, and if the claim goes beyond that limit, our mind assigns that tag to it. It says that's extraordinary. And so it really says a whole lot more about the limits of our mind. For instance, a claim is made, and we'll say it's at this level, okay? And then another claim is made, and it's at this level. Well, this one, you might say, well, that's not extraordinary, but I say it's extraordinary. Someone makes a claim that's a little bit beyond that, and now your mind says that's extraordinary. So what that really is telling us, it's telling us more about how limited our own minds are. Mine may be limited at one level and yours limited at a higher level, but it, when we say that claim is extraordinary, then our mind is assigning the term extraordinary to the claim at the level of its limit. Now, I think all of us, if someone made the claim about any president, I'm not talking about President Obama specifically, I'm talking about president as an office. If anyone at any time made the claim that a president had committed a murder, personally committed a murder, didn't have it, shot somebody, killed him, cold-blooded murder, I think most of us would say, now look, that's an extraordinary claim. The thing about that, however, is that it doesn't require extraordinary evidence. It requires only the same evidence that you would be required to have to prove that George down at the factory committed a murder. If the DNA and the fingerprints say it was the president, done deal. The level and the quality of the evidence required is exactly the same. The only reason we said it was extraordinary is because it hit the level, the limit of our minds real quick. And we, no, a president wouldn't do that. So the level of evidence required to prove what we think may be extraordinary is not extraordinary. The level of evidence and the quality of the evidence required to prove anything is exactly the same level and quality of evidence required to prove anything else. Does that make sense to you? All right. We're going to open up the telephone lines and invite the audience to join us and participate in the show. Now, let me give you the telephone numbers and how you can participate in the show. The main telephone number in the studio is 623-444-5889. In the USA and Canada, we have a toll-free number. If it would cost you long distance to call our main number, you may call the toll-free number. And it is 888-223-4599. Don't make the mistake, though, of thinking, oh, well, the main number's busy, I'll try to get them on the toll-free number. It's the same line. So if one is busy, the other one is busy. It's the same line. It's just a different way for you to get here so that everyone can participate. If you're outside of the USA, you can call us on 623-444-5889. And some of you have Skype. And if you have a Skype account where you can call telephone numbers, you can use Skype to call that telephone number. It won't cost you much. Or you can do something else. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message option on our website at kevinsmithshow.com. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. You know, I think the only building in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area, that shook recently, I think, was on March 28th when the University of Phoenix Stadium was shaken as WrestleMania 26 was rolling through town.
You think?
I think that's the only building that was shaken, you know.
Well, I can't find anyone out here that felt it.
Well, you know,
I'll tell you something else. You want to hear something weird? I've talked to people over south of Los Angeles, and, you know, 7.2, that's a big quake.
Yeah.
7.2. South of Los Angeles, I've talked to several people, and they didn't feel it.
And, you know, Kev, on something totally different, you know, another shaking up of things, especially on the Internet and the freedom thereof.
Mm-hmm.
If the United Kingdom's government says that you are an undesirable radio show, they can now legally block your website.
Yes.
That is.
But that is also there is a bill before the U.S. Congress, and there's also a bill before the Parliament in Australia.
Yeah, and one here too. So yeah.
Yeah. So if they think you're undesirable, they're going to take you off the internet.
Yeah, isn't that kind of sad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I guess that means the only people that will be able to get my show, if that happens, would be people in places where our government says they're not free, like
yes.
China.
Yeah, but you know what? The mushrooms over there still believe that they're free. Isn't that nice?
Well, it's unfortunate. I think a lot of people are waking up and realizing. Unfortunately, they're saying if we don't do something, we're going to lose our freedom. That's a start. What they don't realize is they lost their freedom. And what they've got to do is get it back. But at least it's a start.
Well, you know, and I think of the people on tax day that are going to be going on that march in Washington are going to try to assert their freedom. But, you know, I've got a warning to those fellas.
Okay, well, you have to hold on. I'll let you give that warning after we get back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back. We've got Kevin from Canada on the line. One of the Kevins in Canada. We have a number of Kevins from Canada that call us. You had a warning for people that are going to march on Washington.
Yeah, you know, whenever there's these protests that are happening, you know, there's always these agents provocateurs that like to cause trouble at these places. I got to tell people, if they want to protest, do not resort to violence under any circumstances, because that plays right into the hands of these despotic people that have been setting up legislation to institute this dictatorial regime that we're seeing being forged all around us. It gives them an exact pretext that they need. If people want to exercise their right to free speech, that like they have a constitutional right to do, they have to do it without violence. And anybody that tries to, if they see any mask, people wearing face masks trying to break in bottles and whatnot, all the TV cameras are on them. These are likely agent provocateurs, and get away from them as quickly as you can.
All right, Kevin. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good night, man.
Mm-hmm. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. It's BYOT. And listen, if you've never called in before, you've been listening to the show and you've heard some things that you had some questions about or you wanted to comment on, but you weren't able to get in because, you know, we get a lot of, during most shows, we get a lot of calls. It jams up the lines and you may not be able to get in. It's easier to get in on open line night because we have more telephone time available. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. I was listening to you talking about Carl Sagan.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think you might have a new job.
What's that?
And that would be training scientists not to be religious and to be more like police officers and just looking for the evidence.
Well, you know, I try to do that on the show. The thing about it, look, there are tons and tons and tons of scientists out there that are doing good science and that are, you know, they look at something weird and that's happening. They observe that there's something weird that's happening, and they say, I wonder, and they go after it. there are others, and the ones that I really get on to, I call them establishment scientists. I call them intellectual mudsuckers. I call them mushrooms. They are the ones.
Sagan one of them?
You know, he wasn't in the beginning, but became a mushroom toward the end. Carl Sagan, in the beginning, was one of the big proponents of the idea that it's impossible that we're alone in the universe.
Oh, yeah.
By the end, he had become far more conventional, more establishment. He was still a bit of a renegade, but far more conventional. I wouldn't say he actually became a mushroom, but he was hanging out with a lot of mushrooms. And, you know, the scientist that I don't agree with everything he's got to say, but I really think he's a champion of good science and really out-of-the-box thinking, is Michio Kaku. He's, when I say out of the box thinking, he's not unscientific at all, by any measure, but he looks at things and says, okay, well, in order for that to happen, you would have to be able to overcome this, 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 and this. Now let's see, how could you overcome that? You know, so he's the kind of scientist that we need more of. But the establishment guys that just stick with what they learned in their PhD courses and you know, they don't venture outside of that box, they are a real impediment to progress.
It's really boring, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you mentioned, I wasn't aware of this, planets orbiting against each other.
Well,
recently,
you know, they're actually orbiting opposite of the direction of orbit of their sun.
And also maybe against other planets. It sounds like they're not all orbiting in the same direction.
Well, they're not all around the same sun. Okay. It's nine planets, but they're not all in one solar system.
So are some planets going one way and other planets going the other way in a single solar system?
Well, you do have that in at least one of those.
Because imagine, say, if Jupiter was orbiting the opposite way.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? It might tear off some some Earth from, or some matter from different planets as they, you know, crossed over each other?
Well, let me just read to you what was said by an astronomer at the Geneva Observatory by the name of Queloz. And here it is. A dramatic side effect of this process is that it would wipe out any other smaller Earth-like planets in these systems. In addressing that very issue,
So what they're confused about is, instead of it being cleared out, they're actually still carrying on this activity, and so everything we know about gravity is and mass is, you know, there's something really odd about that.
Well, yeah, what it means, it doesn't necessarily mean that what we know about gravity and mass is wrong.
Right.
But it does mean it, at best, is extremely incomplete.
That's a really good way of putting it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there, I mean, how would you explain that that it's still carrying on and they're not stripping each other of mass as they go around,
mm-hmm,
in opposite directions?
Yeah, and I don't know how you would explain that, and that's the thing. The scientists don't know either.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah. What it means is that everything that we know about gravity and mass, while it may be accurate, it's only accurate to a very small percentage of the whole picture. There's something else going on that we don't know and that we don't understand. And so what we think to be the laws regarding that are really very elementary.
Well, and, in this case, that'd be really true, and it would be exciting to, well, figure it out as to why something like that carries on, because as far as I know, it doesn't make sense, and I guess as far as the scientists go, it doesn't make sense either. Exciting.
There's a lot of stuff out there in that universe that doesn't make sense according to the textbooks. You know, one of the cool things that happened last week, they announced last week that using new instruments, they've already mapped the universe, and using new instruments, they discovered 90% more galaxies than they knew existed.
90%.
90%. So here we are thinking we've got it all figured out. At, you know, how big our universe is and how populated it is with stars and galaxies. So they've got it all figured out, and then they find out what they knew was only 10% of the picture.
Well, that's gotta bug you somewhat.
Well, I tell you what it does. It pretty much blows Big Bang. And here's why. The Big Bang theory is predicated upon being able to do redshift down to zero so that we go as far back as we can with redshift until it depletes to zero. Now there's something on the other side of the zero. There are planets and systems we didn't see. You want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, and we've got John from Vancouver Island on the phone with us. John, what I was saying is when they go to the zero point where they say, okay, that's where the Big Bang happened because we've traced all the light back down to zero, now there's 90% more beyond zero. So
my guess, Kevin, is... It's probably infinitely more.
Oh, I think so. What they're saying is they've discovered 90% more. And I think you're right. I think it is infinitely more. But there you go. You know, 90% beyond zero. Now, what does that mean? Well, they've been saying the universe is 14.5 to 15 billion years old, right? Well, that takes you down to zero. And now beyond zero, there's 90% more. How many billions more years old is the universe?
Yeah, well, yeah. One assumption that scientists have is that the universe is a closed system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's subject to entropy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to eventually wind down. And so the idea is if you wind it back, you arrive at the initial point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, it doesn't make, it, like, the redshift is an indication that we're an open system, not a closed system. And the redshift is more an indicator that energy is coming into the system. Because if there's more space, and if the vacuum has got nearly infinite amount of energy per cubic centimeter, then that's definitely an indicator that there's energy coming in all the time and we're in an open system.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true, you can't really wind it back to a single point.
There you go.
Because if it's open now, it was open, you know, back then. It was always open.
Yeah. And see, this is one of the problems. Even scientists, in their minds, even if they're atheists, in their minds, there is a craving to know the origin. And from an atheistic or secularistic, I should not say atheistic, but from a secularistic scientific point of view, there really isn't an origin. It goes.
Well, yeah, and that's a very convenient elimination of cause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have to deal with the cause, then you can, you know, busy yourself with whatever you see.
I just think it's so cool that the better our technology gets, the more they find out how wrong they've been.
I find that really exciting because we really, as a species and as far as science goes, we really need to move on into a place where spirituality and science are together. Like, they ought not to be mutually exclusive.
Well, when you get into quantum physics and quantum mechanics, you're right on the razor's edge of science and spirituality. Things happen that simply defy explanation at the quantum level. And that's why I say 99% of our universe is paranormal.
Yeah, that'd be true.
Yeah.
That'd be true.
John, I want to thank you for the call. I got to move along.
Okay.
All right, thanks much.
Bye for now.
Yeah. You know, the more science gets into what's really going on, the more they're able to discover what's really going on, the more they're discovering there may not be a separation between spirit and science. It may all be happening concurrently. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Bob from California.
Hello, Bob from California. How are you?
Not bad. How about you?
Good.
I had kind of an interesting question, and it was BYOT, so mm-hmm. I thought I'd pass it over and hang up. I've been cleaning the house for a while, and I'm out of breath.
All right.
And watching the show. How much should we fear nanobot technology, and is that one of the most likely forms of life that could be bioengineered to eventually evolve into larger creatures and replace us?
Don't hang up. Did you hang up? He hung up. Okay, well, Bob, it just so happens that I hold in my hands an article that says U.S. researchers have developed tiny nanoparticle robots that can travel through a patient's blood and into tumors where they deliver a therapy that turns off an important cancer gene. So this technology has been developed. This is not in the future. It's here. It's here now. Okay, this is a Reuters report and out of Chicago. And this was in March the 21st of 2010. U.S. researchers have developed these nanorobots to go into your bloodstream and attack cancer cells. How much should we fear it? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it's got tremendous potential for doing good, but obviously equal potential for doing bad things to us. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello, Kevin. I got some comments regarding disclosure versus contact. Really, at this point, I'm not sure if we're actually ready as a world and as a civilization for either one. I mean, when you consider contact. Well, I mean, the Phoenix Lights craft, I mean, I was going to say nobody really panicked, but apparently the mayor's office was flooded with calls. And if we're talking about disclosure, as you said, regarding Jordan, well, if they panicked, what would happen to other countries that would disclose? It probably would be panic as well to some degree.
I think there would be places on Earth where they would panic. And, you know, that article from Jordan, actually, that article was from Ireland. But they were reporting on what happened in Jordan. But that event, that incident in Jordan, absolutely proves there are people that will panic. Okay, but
people in my own family that would panic for sure.
I think there are people that would be very, very anxious.
Yeah.
But I think most of the folks on the planet would not panic. Look, this says, in my opinion, this says more about the intellectual readiness and the mental stability of government leaders than it says about the people.
True.
The people, in my opinion, are way ahead of their governments on this. The people in the United States are way ahead of the government on this and many other issues. And, you know, the really sad thing, I guess, look at, you mentioned the Phoenix Lights. If people call and say, look, I saw this thing and I just want to report it to the governor's office, you know, and what's up with this? That's not panic. They hired this guy and they're paying his salary. He is a hired hand. They're paying his salary. And the employer wants a report from the employee. That's not panic. That's normal business.
Right.
However, the governor said that he did his silly, inane, stupid press conference because people were becoming panicky. There was just a state of panic. Well, there was no state of panic. That's nonsense. Nobody, absolutely nobody panicked except Fife Symington.
Yeah. Kevin, do you think there's a correlation between, and this is something that just came across my mind this week, in regards to the whole, I'm not sure if it's the Vatican or the Catholic Church, but does anyone find it convenient for whoever wants to keep disclosure or contact away that they're being dragged under with this pedophilia case? I know they probably have a lot of blood on their hands as in regards to sex scandals in the past, but it seems to me that whenever someone or an organization gets close to wanting to disclose or force contact or whatever, something always brings that organization or that person down.
You know, I had not thought of it like that, but you're right. I mean, in this particular instance, I had not thought of it like that. Apparently, the Clinton administration was getting close to doing disclosure, and then the Monica Lewinsky scandal all of a sudden exploded onto the news. There was some talk about this during the Reagan administration, and then the arms for hostages or something like that. The arms deals, the secret arms deals with Iran, all that blew up. And so we know the Vatican has been moving towards disclosure, openly moving towards disclosure, and now all this blows up. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly suspicious.
Well, it's food for thought anyway. Kevin, I'll listen to the rest offline, but thank you very much for great work, and keep it up.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
623-444-5889. That is the main number here in the studio. And if you are on a calling plan where you can call that number and it won't cost you any long distance, please use that number. However, If it's going to cost you long distance, you feel free to use the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Let's see on the Flash message board. Kevin in Australia says, great mature debate about topics that affect everyone on this planet. Henry's show last night was excellent, and maybe Henry should have a chat with Dr. Michio Kaku and you. Second question. Regarding mushrooms, maybe some of the older theories of ufology need to lead... need new ideas such as the late Dr. Mac Toney's The Crypto-Terrestrials, Dr. Farrell, Reich and Roswell, and yours, Gods in the Garden. I would agree that ufology has a tendency to get theological about itself. And gets religious about itself, and then gets entrenched. And you know me, I don't like a box around my head. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
It was Iran-Contra and the Oliver North thing for Reagan.
Yeah, Iran-Contra. I couldn't remember what they called it. But,
Yeah.
Every time somebody gets, like, you know, a president or a head of state gets close to doing disclosure, there's some kind of big scandal. Something blows up in the news, and all of a sudden, disclosure doesn't happen.
Yep. Now, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is tonight Open Line live, or is it Open Season on Idiots? Because the first part of the show pretty much sounded like Open Season on Idiots.
Every time I push the button and turn my mic on, it's open season on Idiots.
Okay.
Yeah, but it is Open Line Live. You got do you have some shots you want to take at Idiots?
No, they're pretty much shot full. So anyway.
All right. Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. Is it Open Line Live or is it Open Season on Idiots? It's always Open Season on Idiots. I just think that if... look, under no circumstances do I think that I have all the answers. I would not even say I have most of the answers. But I do think that we en masse need to return to... the ability to think as opposed to just feel about everything. We need to think about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is James from Texas.
Hi, James.
Would you like a scenario as to why something always interferes with the potential for disclosure?
Yeah, go ahead.
How about the most entrenched power structure on the planet following a ridiculous, absurd god that ETs would laugh at?
Well, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
And I don't mean the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who do you mean?
The Illuminati.
I thought that's who you meant. You know, the Illuminati have been around for a lot longer than they have been known as the Illuminati.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a series, and by the way, I'm going to put a link in this week's K-Files e-zine. I've already got it in there. To a series of, it's 13 videos long, and it's called... The Omega Code's Old World Secret. Now, I don't ask for anybody to believe all of that, but it's an eye-opener. And you'll learn things that you didn't know. And it goes all the way back to what a lot of people called gods, Zeus and Poseidon and so forth. Some people say that's just mythology, but what if it's not? What if those were real beings, real people, with real advanced technologies and powers? Now it takes on a whole lot different meaning and understanding, and you will, if you watch that, you'll see how what James just told us is true. Are you familiar with that series, James?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I do believe it's just a matter of myth-making.
Well, there are myths. But I think a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times mythology, when we say something is mythological, we do that to cover up the truth.
Illuminati, for instance, they take and confuse Prometheus with Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucifer is one of the fallen host.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty well established historically that the Illuminati have been promoting a particular bloodline, and they've been manipulating the world. They've been manipulating the currencies of the world and the politics of the world to their own benefit and to our expense. And they've been doing that for centuries upon centuries upon centuries.
And look at the copycats.
Mm-hmm.
Scientology, the Masons.
I have to admit, I don't know much about Scientology. I know what I've heard other people say, but I have a personal policy, and that is, just because I hear somebody say it, that doesn't mean it's true till I research their own documents and see what they say. But I have no reason to doubt that what you say is true about Scientology. I'm just putting that disclaimer on it. I have not personally researched it enough to know.
Speaking of Scientology, do you remember CON, the Cult Awareness Network?
Yes.
Do you know who owns the American chapter of CON?
No.
The Scientologists.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
So the Cult Awareness Network in the United States is owned by Scientology.
It's owned by the Scientologists.
Interesting. Well, how well are the Illuminati doing? Are they succeeding?
Are they what?
Are they succeeding?
God, I hope not.
Well, I hope not, too. Looks to me like with the masses, they're doing a pretty good job of manipulating the mass mind.
You know the one defector that's come out, Svali? Have you listened to her videos?
No.
A real eye-opener.
Well, it's your opinion then that the Scientologists are part of the Illuminati?
I have little doubt of that. Of course, I don't think that all the membership realizes that, but they do the same programming to each other, and it's continuous.
Mm-hmm.
They practice mind control on each other.
But almost all religions do.
Illuminati do.
Almost all religions do mind control.
Oh, not like these people.
So they've got it in high gear, huh?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'll look into it. I have to admit it's just not one that I've done much study on in terms of looking at their own documents, their own teachings, what they actually say, what they actually do. Everything I know about Scientology is what I've heard other people say about them. And I prefer to get it from the horse's mouth. So I'll look into it and see what I find.
It's not a pleasant journey.
Well, maybe not. It's a whole lot of journeys I take in research are not pleasant. But that's the only way to find out and to be able to say I know, and other rather than for me to say, well, I believe it's this way. I'd rather say I know.
I expect no less from you.
Yeah. Okay, James, I appreciate the call. I got to move along.
All right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if you allow belief to drive your car, to drive your life, if you allow belief to drive your life rather than knowledge, it's like letting the kids drive the car. You let a little kid drive the car, you're going to have a wreck. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Okay, Kevin. Now, Kevin, we're just about to a break. We're only seconds away from a break. Do you want to hang on through the break and we'll get you first up after the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang in there. You won't hear anything but you're on hold, all right? All right, folks, we're going to step away for a couple of minutes here. And when we come back, we'll continue with Kevin Smith Show Open Line Live. Bring your own topic. And first up, when we come back, Kevin from Beaverton. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, and it's BYOT. That means bring your own topic, open line live tonight. On the phone with me is Kevin from Beaverton, and Kevin, we didn't even let you get started, so I apologize for that, but the break took over. So the floor is yours. What's on your mind?
I just want to say that I know little about Scientology, but I believe it's claimed that their leader is Xenu, who's an alien, and if that's true, isn't that basically disclosure itself of aliens?
Well, if it's true, you know, it's very difficult to know the truth. For instance, if I started a religion called Kevinism, and I said my leader is whoever, we'll say my leader is Kevin from Mars, okay, and we're calling it Kevinism, simply because I claim that I have had contact with Kevin from Mars doesn't mean that's true. So if it's true, then yes, that would be disclosure. But then again, think about this. If the Bible is true, the God that the Bible presents is quite obviously an extraterrestrial. He's not from here. If he built here, he can't be from here. So if that story in the Bible is true, then we've already had disclosure. So that's what it comes down to. What it comes down to is being able to know whether the claims are true or not. The Raelians have a claim that, you know, they are descendants of the extraterrestrials, and they have contact with an extraterrestrial, Rael. And, you know, is it true? Well, don't know. That's the big chore, is to be able to nail down whether the claims are true.
All right.
All right. Kevin, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. And that's the main number. And the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Virtually every religion claims a connection to an off-world god. Not all of them do, but virtually every religion claims a connection to an off-world god. By off-world, we simply mean he's not from here. That in itself, that means that god is extraterrestrial. Terra is the name of this planet. Terrestrial means of this planet. Extraterrestrial means apart from this planet, off-world. So virtually every religion claims a connection to an off-world god. Now, if the claims of any of the religions, if their claims, not their beliefs, but if their claims can be substantiated, then you've had disclosure already. Have you ever thought about that? If they can be substantiated, then disclosure has taken place. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Mark from Ohio. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to bring up the topic of some of these ancient monolithic sites all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm becoming more and more interested in them as time goes on. Are you familiar with Pumapunku?
Oh, yes.
That is one fascinating place.
Pumapunku has been, it's in Peru, I believe, isn't it?
It's in Bolivia, I think.
Bolivia?
Yes.
But Pumapunku has been examined by engineers and various types of scientists. And they say that much of the engineering that is done, that you see done to the to these massive stones, it would be difficult, not necessarily impossible, but difficult to do with modern laser and diamond tip technology. There's a stone, you've probably seen this, more than one stone, but this particular stone gets its picture taken all the time because it's standing in a position where it's easy to get a picture of this. It's got a groove that runs all the way from the top to the bottom, from one end to the other. And at specific intervals, in other words, they're evenly spaced, there are holes drilled into that groove. And as if maybe there were pegs of some kind that were going to be inserted into those holes. Each one of them is drilled, they're at precise intervals, and each one is drilled to a precise depth that you can only get with, like, computerized machinery. And the real kicker is that stone is diorite.
Right.
And the only thing that you can possibly drill it with, even today, would be a diamond-tipped drill.
Well, you know, when I study these ancient sites, and the more I study these, the more interested I get, the thing that comes to my mind is we need a disclosure also on our own history.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can bring the reality that these ancient sites were built with high technology, that changes the whole paradigm. And it may go hand in hand with a UFO disclosure, I believe.
I'm pretty sure that you are right on target. I'm pretty sure that if we could get our real history in front of us, it's a history of interaction with beings who came here, people who came here from somewhere else off planet. And we have that. But when we are exposed to it, we're exposed to it as if it's mythology. When you read about the ancient gods, they say, well, that's mythology. Well, you know, no one sat down and said, I'm going to write a myth.
Right.
What they did is they sat down and they wrote history as they understood it. We came along and said, that's superstition and mythology. To them, it was history.
You know, with the Egyptians, I believe that Nassim Haramein says that the Egyptians claim that the sun gods built the pyramids, that they didn't build the pyramids. Have mm-hmm. you ever heard anything about that?
Yes. I'll tell you something else, and there's on the documentary channel, there's been a documentary that's been running off and on for about the past month, and it has to do with the pyramids and the fact that the pyramids do not, the story about them being tombs, that doesn't match with the construction of the pyramids at all. And, you know, the one of the things that's pretty interesting is they show you a diagram of the aquifer under the Great Pyramid. And there is a shaft that runs at a sharp angle down to just above that aquifer. And one of the things that they were talking about is that as the Nile would flood and then drain, it causes the rising and falling of that aquifer under the pyramid, and the movement of water causes an electrical charge. And if they were able in any way to harness that electrical charge, the pyramid may have been a power plant.
You know, another interesting thing that I just recently learned about the pyramids is that the base of the pyramid is 13 acres, I believe, and the point at the top of that pyramid is almost exactly in the center of that. It's only off a quarter of an inch, and there's 2,300,000 stones in the pyramid. So if you figure out how much of a inaccuracy per stone that would be, it's so minute, it's beyond, you know, comprehension. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're exactly right, but let's add this to it. The pyramid doesn't have its top on it. Its capstone is not there. So it comes up to, from a distance, it looks like a point, but it's not a point. It's a platform, and you could stand on it. But if it had its capstone so that it came to a sharp point at the top, mm-hmm. it might not be off at all.
Yeah, that's probably true. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't want to take any more of your time up, is are you familiar with the work of Michael Tellinger?
Yes, he's been on the show with Jerry Wills.
Oh, I had forgot about that. His work is getting more and more fascinating. I believe he's uncovered what he believes are two ancient cities in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And those cities, he claims, are larger than L.A. and New York.
Well, I would not doubt that at all. Don't you find it a little interesting? They say Africa is the birthplace of civilization, or of the, not of civilization, but of the human race. Well, I'm not sure that's actually true, but they consider it, the scientists consider it to be the birthplace of the human race. All right, so I'll stipulate to that. We'll say it is. Isn't it interesting how officially nobody is interested in Africa?
Well, you know, when I look at the big picture, it's just so clear that, you know, we've been lied to on so many different fronts. And I think people are waking up. There's a certain group of people in the world now that are waking up. There's another group that I think wants to stay asleep, and maybe we have to decide on sharing with those people that might be somewhat interested in waking up, because I think people do have the right to be unconscious if they so choose. But the evidence is right here on the earth. I mean, in our own history, of something that's really quite amazing that's gone on for thousands of years. And I think it's just fascinating.
I think it's fascinating as well. And, you know, this is one of the reasons, I guess, Jerry Wills and I get along so well. First of all, I like the guy. He's a good guy. But he's an explorer of these ancient places and has found things that even the Department of Antiquities in some of these countries were not aware of. And so, you know, it's just fascinating to listen to him and to watch his videos at Expeditions TV. It's absolutely fascinating. Listen, I got to run. We got a break on.
All righty. Nice talking to you, Kevin.
All right. Thanks. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is BYOT night, bring your own topic, and let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Ron from Maryland. I haven't called you, Kevin, in a long time, but I'm back. Okay.
Good.
I wanted to ask you something. First of all, I'm a little upset with NASA because, you know, it's like, well, I'm upset with Obama because he doesn't give NASA any money, and I'd like to learn more about Mars, because Mars is my thing. I love things about Mars. In fact, I was going to ask you, because you kind of get like a lot of inside information. Is there anything new things about Mars that you've heard of?
Well, you know, I have not heard of anything about Mars that is like verifiable with any of their pictures or anything like that. But I have. You know, I hear new things about Mars all the time from guests and from people calling in. And it's quite interesting. However, you know me, and doesn't mean I disbelieve it, but I reserve judgment until I can nail down some evidence for it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Did you hear something about, or was I just dreaming? Did you hear something about they can't find the moons of Mars anymore, or was that just a...
Stuart Swerdlow told us that on the show. He was a guest on the show, I don't know, several weeks ago. And he said that they're missing. Other people are saying, no, they're not missing, they're still there. So...
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, too, and another thing I wanted to ask you, too, you know, you got the Hubble telescope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that with magnification, like let's say you're going to look out into space, you really have some really high magnification. If you get something too close, you're not going to see anything. It's just going to be all blurry because the magnification is made for something, you know, pretty far out. But do you think if you took the Hubble telescope and you pointed it to Mars, you would see, like, really, or Venus, like, you know, we think there might be life on Venus at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it would see these things, or would they be blurry, you think, to the Hubble telescope?
Crystal clear.
Really?
They would be crystal clear.
That would be the moon, too, right?
Well, I'm not sure about the moon, and the reason I'm not is because the moon is so highly reflective.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so close, you know, and I think the moon might be a big blur because of all the reflection of light coming off of it, and I could be wrong about that, but because it's so close and so bright, I think it might not work with the moon, but certainly with Mars, look, if they can look billions of light years away with Hubble and get those magnificent photographs, they certainly could look at Mars clear enough and close enough to count the grains of sand.
Well, that's what I say. They probably already know just from looking at the whole telescope, you know, what's really on Mars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they've done that. And the last thing, I'll get off the air here, because I'm always bringing this up to you, because I love that story, and I know it's true. You know, that Thunderbird you saw, that giant eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think when you saw it that maybe you were lunch?
No, it was far enough away from me and was paying no attention to me, but it was the most giant bird I've ever seen.
Wow. So Thunderbirds do exist, you know?
Well, you know, I don't know if it was a Thunderbird. I've never seen anything like it before or since. I don't know what it was, except I know it was a bird.
Well, you also took a picture with like a giant snake, didn't you, or something in Louisiana?
I didn't take a picture. Well, yeah, I did tell about that. I took a picture of a snake that was swimming beside our boat. And that my boat was 17 feet long, and that snake was longer than the boat.
Oh, my God. Oh. I mean, they got some things in Louisiana, don't they?
They do indeed.
Man.
They do. They call it the sportsman's paradise.
You get lost down there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Kevin, okay?
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, there are things in the world that you and I have never seen, but somebody has, and they tell us about it, and we have a nasty habit of saying that's nonsense, like that, you know, all those sailor stories of giant squid. Well, now we know it's true because we have them on videotape. All right, caller, you'll be our last caller for the evening, and your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi. I got just kind of a weird question, kind of quick. I've always heard all the time growing up that when a child is born, there's a new star added somewhere. You think there might be anything to that myth that possibly there's a correlation between humans being born, and because our universe is always expanding? You think there might be some correlation?
Well, you know, I've heard that too, but I have to tell you that's not one I buy. But okay. I can't prove it, and it's just as likely to be true as it is to not be true, because nobody has any proof of it one way or the other.
Right. I just always heard it, and I just wondered, you know, because, you know, they say it's expanding, and there's getting more and more people on this planet, so I just...
Well, you'd have to say China's been filling up the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
And India. India as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's... I don't know whether that's true or not. If I had to place money on it, I would say that it is not, but I can't prove it one way or the other.
Right. Well, you know, and the rate that it's the universe has been expanding is getting faster, so, and the population is getting, you know, growing exponentially. So, but I just thought maybe somebody you'd talk to had addressed that at some time or another. But
I don't think anybody ever has addressed that on the show.
Alrighty.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right. There are things that are written that seem fantastic to us, and yet we're discovering more and more and more that a lot of those stories we said were mythological were true. I think one of the greatest stories is the story of the discovery of the city of Troy. Because when, I believe it was Homer, wrote about the Trojan War, I could be wrong about that, but I think it was Homer, wrote about the Trojan War, it was considered to be just fiction, mythology. Nobody had ever heard of any actual city of Troy. It didn't exist. Until one day, there was an explorer, an archaeologist, who said, you know what? I'm going to treat this story in Homer as if it were actually the truth and see if I find Troy. And guess what he found? Troy. All across the world, there are things that tell us that the stories that were handed down from the ancients were essentially true. They referred to certain beings as gods. Maybe you wouldn't. But they saw these people with technology that was unimaginable to them. If you yourself were able to take just the technology that's in your house and go back 10,000 years with that technology functioning, if you could do that, they would all say you're a god. You have things that you take for granted that were absolutely wondrous 10,000 years ago. You have things in your house that are absolutely wondrous 100 years ago. Maybe the stories are true. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.